And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio Podcast. I'm happy to be with you again. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support of American Family Radio, your support of American Family Association, and the whole family of organizations and ministries associated with us. We really appreciate you. In fact, this week, I substitute for Jenna. By the time you hear this, I will have substituted for Jenna a couple of times. Jenna Ellis was off. And I will be with you with Abraham Hamilton III on his program. That is, I'll be substituting for him on the very day this podcast airs. So this evening, that's 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand in for these great hosts and just thankful to God for the American Family Radio Network, because without American Family Radio Network, I just don't know where we would look for a source of biblically based information, biblical worldview analysis and exposition on the issues. Now, you can get a conservative exposition, nothing wrong with that per se, but it's incomplete when it's lacking a biblical framework. And so I'm thankful to God for this network and for all of you who support it, who listen to it, who contribute to it, who make it possible for this network to do what God has called us to do. Okay, the first thing, having gotten those preliminaries done, that must be said, is our hearts go out to all the families. I think the count, the last count I heard before doing this program, was 109 dead, 109. And those numbers are likely to continue to go up. They're doing search and rescue now. So that is 109 individuals. Here's the one case where a family that had two twins at the camps, and both twins were lost. Folks, I know you share this with me. I can't imagine what that kind of pain is like. I really can't. I can't imagine it. Of course, I think each of us, as normal human beings, think, man, whew, I mean, what if that were my daughter? What if that were my son? What if that were my child? So the sense of pain we feel is really pales in significance to what the people who are going through this feel. But that is not to say that our pain is not real. These are our fellow Americans. These are our fellow citizens. These are fellow human beings going through a horror, folks. And there's no glib thing one can say to minimize the tremendous destructive impact that this flash flood has had on the people it's directly affected, killed, injured, traumatized, as well as on all of those who actually know them, and then all of us who are at least in the sense as a national family, we are related to them, and we really sense their anguish, even if we are geographically far removed from it. And folks, all we can do is cry out to God in their behalf to comfort them, to strengthen them, and to ask God to just be with them and to somehow, you know, only God is capable of this, to somehow take this curse, take this horrible tragedy and turn it into triumph, to take this curse and turn it into a blessing, to bring good things out of it, even though this is not a good thing that's happened. It's a bad thing that's happened. But to bring good things out of it that will help people heal and also help us to avoid these tragedies in the future. I've wept over this, folks. I mean, I've shed tears because it's just, you just can't imagine. You send your children off to have a nice time, to enjoy themselves, have a wonderful summer experience. And suddenly something happens that you couldn't have imagined in a million years, that you just never would have. I mean, if you think of an accident, you think of, well, maybe a swimming accident or an accident in a vehicle or an accident on the water, perhaps, or maybe a camping accident. Maybe somebody gets caught or something, a tree fall. I mean, what? But you don't think of a flash flood coming through that wipes out over 100 people. And you don't think of something like that happening. I mean, from its normal level to I think its height at 37 feet, I think it was, or maybe it's 39 feet, but somewhere in the high 30s, 45 minutes for that to happen. Folks, 45 minutes is almost no time to escape to safety. Maybe if you know that that's what's coming at the start of that 45 minutes, maybe you have a chance. But I mean, you hear that in the middle of it, how much chance do you have? You hear that at the end of it, you have no chance whatsoever. Now, one of the blessings that's come out of this already is the fact that at this point, the last number I heard was close to 900 people had been rescued. Close to 900 people had been rescued. We have been hearing already about the heroic efforts of the first responders, and what they've done is just absolutely astounding. I mean, where do you find prizes to give to people who are willing to go out there in the heat and the humidity and the debris and the bodies and get out there and start trying to find people who can still be rescued, start trying to collect up and identify the bodies of all those people whose lives have been lost. I mean, it is truly heroic service. It is yeoman service. And I think the entire country is grateful to those folks who are doing that. And I'm sure there are going to be a lot of heroic stories to be told. I saw one little boy. This child could only have been like maybe 6 years old. When he realized something was wrong, and he's on television expressing this, he's realized something was wrong. But he had a younger brother, I guess maybe 3 or 4. And he said all he could think of was where was his younger brother and what was happening to him. I mean, this kid is only, again, 6 years old maybe. And he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of his younger brother. This stuff will just rip your heart out, folks. It really will just rip your heart out. But you know, thank God. This is one of the reasons why I love this country so very much. Because of the culture of Christianity, and because of the foundational principles of our nation, and we don't do this perfectly, I know, but we really do raise up some of the most decent, honorable, admirable people you ever want to meet anywhere in life. And here's a 6-year-old kid, and you're just thinking, wow, wow. I mean, this kid's saying, the only thing I could think of was, where's my little brother? Where's my little brother? What's happening with him? And of course, he and his brother, thank God, both survived this event. But again, you know, you can imagine all the people in those circumstances thinking to themselves, you know, how can I help someone else? Because, you know, look, in spite of all the things that are said about Americans, by some of our own misguided fellow citizens, I mean, the American people are some of the most decent, compassionate, honorable, sacrificial people anywhere on the face of the earth. I know, I've experienced it, I've seen it. I have been the beneficiary of it firsthand. Nobody is ever going to be able to tell me, like what Ilhan Omar said, we're one of the worst countries. Well, you go find one of the best ones and go live there. I'll stay right here, thank you very much. In this sweet land of liberty, this land that I love, and the people that we love, that are our fellow citizens. Again, I know we don't know sometimes in circumstances like this, and some of you listening to me right now may well know people who have been involved, directly involved with this tragedy, but often we don't know these people personally, but on some level we know them because they are fellow Americans. They are of the same culture. They are of the same nation. They are of similar backgrounds to us, and we relate to what they're going through. And this is why it is. So I want to pray before we go. In fact, you know what? I better do that right now so that I don't get to the end and then find myself having to somehow try to squeeze a prayer in. So would you all pray with me for the folks of Central Texas? Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you so much in a situation like this for being here for us, for being our comforter, for being our guide, for being our strengthener, for being the one who stands by us no matter what. Keeping your promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Lord, that means you're with us in triumph and in tragedy. You're with us when everything is peachy creamy, and you're with us when things have gone terribly wrong. And we are so grateful to know that you are our ever-present help in the time of trouble. Now, Lord, we pray for all the families of these persons who have been killed or injured in this horrific flash flood of the Guadalupe River down in Central Texas. Lord, strengthen them, comfort them, draw them close to you. Help them to find their solace, to find their peace, to find their healing in you. Because, Lord, we know what people are going through, who have experienced this, is really beyond human comprehension. And how do you come out of that when you've lost a child or two children? Or how do you ever really come out of that? Only by the grace of God. Only by your presence and power in our lives. Because, Lord, I really believe it is beyond human ability to get over the kind of pain this causes. But with men, things are impossible, not with God. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to them that believe. And Lord, we believe for those folks to be healed, to be comforted, to be strengthened, to be helped, and help us as Americans to respond to their needs with not only our prayers, but our generous giving as well. And Lord, bless the first responders, all of those firefighters, police officers, nonprofit organizations that are down there right now, digging through the muck and the mire, trying to do what they can to help those who might be still accessible and still possible of rescue. And Lord, to help those families who are looking for closure for their loved ones who are in fact lost. Bless those first responders. Thank you for their courage. Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you for their willingness to drop everything else that they're doing and go, many of them volunteers, to help the people there in such desperate need. And Father, we just commit the situation to your hands. There's all kinds of discussion about early warning systems and sirens along the banks of the rivers and this kind of thing. And Lord, all of those things are certainly worthy of consideration. And some of them are doubtless worthy of implementation to try to avoid these kinds of tragedies in the past. Give the leaders of that community and of our country wisdom to know what needs to be done in order to minimize the possibility that anything like this can ever happen again. Bless our country, we pray. And Lord God, unite us. Help us to be one nation under God so that not only in tragedy, certainly in tragedy, but not only in tragedy, in all circumstances, we rally to one another based upon principle rather than dividing against each other based upon the superficial. Thank you, Lord God, for all of the Christians across this nation, the disciples of Christ, who are praying and helping and showing your love to the people who have experienced a horrible tragedy. And we thank you and praise you for victory, even over this situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, let me speak to this issue now. Because you all will understand this, the world may not. One of the things that people ask when such situations like this happen is, why did God let this happen? Why did God allow this? This kind of thing. And I really believe that's the wrong question. Because it implies somehow that this is the will of God, or that God wanted this to happen, and so he therefore allowed it to happen. And none of that is true. I do not believe that it is ever the will of God or the plan of God to wipe people out, not in this new covenant dispensation, to wipe people out, to see 27 children die, to put people through this horrific horror. That is not God's plan. That is not God's purpose. If it were, he would have made the Garden of Eden that way. The Garden of Eden is the first expression of God's will for mankind. Peace, joy, love, contentment. Adam, I'm convinced, didn't even have to work hard. Because the Bible says it wasn't until after sin that he had to earn his living by the sweat of his brow and dig in the earth that was going to resist him. But prior to that, look, all the animals were at peace with him and friendly with him. I mean, he could pet a tiger like it was a kitten. And it would just purr. The ground brought forth fruit in abundance and vegetation in abundance. And I really believe that Adam was using his faith more than anything else, because the Bible doesn't speak of his having to work hard again until after the fall. That's what God really intended for us. It's called the law of first mention. That, in other words, how God starts is how God intends to continue. It's what he wants. But of course, we know God doesn't always get what he wants, at least not as history unfolds. He will inevitably, but not as history is unfolding, because he won't force people to do his will. And once sin came into the picture, because Adam and Eve had the freedom to say, I'm not going to obey you, God. I'm going to eat from the tree you told us not to eat from, and we'll see where it goes. And we know where it went. This is where it went. This is where it goes. I said in a book that I wrote, one of my early books, I said everything from violent storms to birth defects are caused by sin. And of course, you had some idiot reporters who interpret that as meaning these things happened because you sinned or I sinned, and therefore this happened to us. I mean, which is just, you have to have BBs for brains to believe something like that. Either that, or they were just so vile and so venal that they wanted to claim that I believed that so that they would keep people, because I was running for office at the time, so they could keep people from voting for me. But you all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about original sin, not your sin and my sin. You did this, therefore this storm happened, and you did that, therefore some child was born of a birth defect. That's ridiculous. It's preposterous. But what we do know is that sin has infected the cosmos, And therefore, absolutely nothing is imperfect as a result. And some things go terribly wrong. Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might. He didn't say, now there's always the possibility. He said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So there's the answer. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation. That word temptation means tribulation, trial, trouble that has befallen you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. With the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now that's God. God is not the one dumping temptation on you. James chapter 1 said, God cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is conceived, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. There you go. That's the way the system works. It's not God killing people. It's not God causing flash floods. It's mankind's conjunction with Satan and mankind's infection with sin that has infected the entire universe. And the reason why it's affected everything is that God gave Adam dominion over everything. God as ruler, Adam as under ruler. He put all things under his feet. Psalm 8 says so. Gave him dominion over all the work of his hands. Psalm 8 says so. He told them, Adam and Eve have dominion over the earth. Subdue it and be fruitful and multiply in it. So this is not hard to understand, folks. This is an analogy that's easy. If you're the head of a household, if you're the head of a business, if you're the head of an organization, if you are the leader and you get out of sorts, you get mean, you get nasty, you get angry, you get bitter, you get frustrated, you know what? That's going to affect the whole organization. You know that. I know that. You get one person in your home who is out of sorts, seriously out of sorts, bad attitude, and particularly if it's the head of the household, forget it. It'll bring a pall on everything and everybody. That's analogous. It's not quite the same, but it's analogous. Adam's sin, the Bible says, by one man, sin came upon all men. And therefore, by one man, we all receive righteousness. The first being the man, Adam. The second being the man, Jesus Christ. So God is not the author of this mess, but God is the one who brings curses out of blessings. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In fact, our church is based upon this scripture. We know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are the called. That's where the name of our church comes from, the called, according to his purpose. Doesn't say all things are good. It says, we know that all things work together for good. Why? Because he works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's why they work out for good. Because God reaches in, being goodness himself, being love himself. He reaches in and transforms things into something blessed, something hopeful, something joyful, something empowering, a blessing. And only God can do that, frankly. And we don't know what that will be or those things will be. But oh God, let good things somehow emerge from this horrible thing. And that's the unmistakable hand of God that does that. Well, look, needless to say, and I don't enjoy having to say this, but because it kind of undermines the solemnity of the moment, but it needs to be said. In spite of everything I've just said and the prayer I just prayed, we've got these idiots around the country who want to, number one, blame Donald Trump. Now, folks, Again, there's no way to have any kind of cogent discussion with somebody who is that deluded. Again, that's like trying to have a discussion with somebody who says, I'm going to travel everywhere today flying on my pink elephant. And you say, there's no such thing as a pink elephant. They say, oh, yes, there is. I've got one. Well, elephants can't fly. Oh, yes, they can. Mine does. Maybe there's something wrong with you. Oh, no. There's something wrong with you. You don't have a pink elephant that you fly around on? Oh, well, see, yeah, it's clear. You're the one who's lost. You're the one who's misguided. You're the one who's confused. I mean, that's, you can't reason with a person who is captured by delusion. Yeah, pray for that person and move on. That's all you can do. And that's where the left is. I've said it's a demonic cult. Anybody hearing, even one liberal said, I mean, blaming Trump for this tragedy in Central Texas is going a bit too far. And I want to say to that person, well, there is a little crack of light in the darkness. Follow that. Because these other people are in such deep darkness that there's virtually nothing you can do to help them other than pray for them. But they've been doing it. Donald Trump, he cut the budget of the National Weather Service. First of all, the facts as I understand them are these, and according confirmed by the Weather Service, they are not short on manpower. This had nothing to do with the flash flood or with the tragedy that emerged from it. Now, there has been some discussion that the county was offered some sirens to go along the banks of the river, and they declined because of cost or perhaps other reasons that I'm not aware of, but they declined. Maybe it's time to revisit that issue now. Maybe they need to do it. Maybe they need to have some kind of early warning system that wakes people up in the middle of the night if necessary. Because when this thing hit, it was in the middle of the night. People were sleeping. And one guy said that he heard a noise and he wasn't sure what it was, but he woke up. And when he got out of his bed, there was water up to his knees. And I'm pretty sure he was on the second floor at that point. And there was water up to his knees. I mean, you can't even fathom what that's like. To go to sleep, everything's normal. You wake up and you are in danger of drowning. Folks, it is almost unfathomable. It really is. It is almost unfathomable. But sadly, we have the proof to prove that this is exactly what's happened, and we are now dealing with the aftermath of it. But it's not God's fault, and it's not Trump's fault. Now, here's the other thing that has been said, folks, that again, this stuff will make you mad enough to spit. I mean, the only reason why there's some woman down in Houston Sade somebody. Let me see if I can get her name, because it's not even really worthy of mention, but nevertheless. Sade Perkins, former appointee by the Houston mayor, put out a TikTok video basically saying that the only reason why this is important, the only reason why this is getting news, is that they're all white girls. And then went on to slander these people and say it's white only, it's a white only conservative Christian camp, and if you ain't white, you ain't right, and you ain't getting in, and you ain't going, period. And close it out with saying, if this were a group of Hispanic girls, no one would give a, and you can imagine what word she inserted there, which just goes to show the filth of her soul anyway. But folks, again, this stuff is so irrational, so heartless, so lacking in human decency and compassion that you feel like you're really dealing with an animal, not a human being. Some animals have more sensitivity than that. I mean, I'm a dog lover. I don't have a dog. My son's got three dogs, but I'm a dog lover. But anybody who's had a dog, your dog has more compassion than that. I mean, to say something like that in the middle of this. So apparently the mayor is looking at firing her from whatever role she had, and I think she was just on some kind of board, and banning her from serving in the future because the mayor of Houston, I give this mayor credit, understood that this was a horribly, horribly wrong thing to say. Mayor John Whitmire said, the comments are deeply inappropriate, have no place in a decent society, especially as families grieve the confirmed deaths and the ongoing search for the missing. Commendations, Mr. Mayor. I don't know this guy. I don't know where he stands on the issues, but I'll give him credit on this one because he's absolutely right. How could you say such a thing? But look, folks, this is what the left is all about. It is all about dividing us racially. Now, that brings me to something I want to talk to you about. I'll take a little bit of the time I've got left to do this. You know, we just celebrated the 249th anniversary of our country, and we are now marching toward 250. Now, it's been popularized since 1978, and a lot of people have taken this to heart since 1978, because in 1978, a book was written called The Fate of Empires and the Search for Survival by Sir John Bagot Glubb, who was a British military officer and an intellectual. And he wrote this book chronicling what causes great empires or great nations to decay. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but here's among the things he said was love of money. And I thought, yeah, like being willing to sell communist China land near our national security zones and facilities and buildings, or to sell them the opportunity to propagandize and indoctrinate our people through TikTok, or allowing them to buy up seats and influence in our universities where our generations, our future generations, are going to be taught to lead this country. We've allowed communist China to buy in. You know, the largest single gift ever given to Harvard was given by a man named Hahn, who gave it to the School of Public Health, and they renamed the School of Public Health to include his name in it, $350 million. $350 million. These Confucius Institutes. So the love of money allows people to be willing to sell their country out for whatever the price is. One could say metaphorically for 30 pieces of silver. The other next thing he brings is intellectualism. In other words, forget the search for transcendent truth. Forget clear, absolute moral principles that lead to action. Now, forget all that. And you just kind of make up the rules of life as you go along. And you kind of reconstitute everything. It's Marx, Karl Marx here, because this all stuff is all rooted and grounded in godless Marxism. We must ruthlessly criticize everything. Why? To undermine it, to destroy it, so you can rebuild in your own Marxist, communist, atheistic image. So, like Harvard, remember Harvard saying, well, men can have babies too. Therefore, we need to stop referring to pregnant women and start calling them birthing persons. Birthing persons. I mean, Lord, help us. The other thing he said was decadence and partying, like Jeffrey Epstein, Sean Combs, P. Diddy, in which they probably had hundreds of people coming through their homes participating in this moral depravity that they were into. They had plenty of partners recruiting young people to service the people coming in to have a good time and making the young people do whatever these other folks wanted them to do. I mean, this stuff is sick. And then to be getting a standing ovation from people because he wasn't found guilty of human trafficking. But he was found guilty of sexual assault, and he does have two or three very serious charges against him, and he is likely to do 10 to 15 years in prison. But oh, no, none of that matters, because he was having a good old time. And Glubb says these things lead to the ultimate decline and collapse of a nation. Here's the last one. Internal hatred and division, of my list. There are more in his book. Internal hatred and division. Folks, our organization Stand is dedicated to bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines. I was praying about this a few weeks ago, and about our future and where God would have me go and how God would have me go. And the Lord gave me this concept. We need to deracialize America. Deracialize it, meaning stop looking at people based upon the color of their skin and start looking at people based upon their heart, their character, their decency, their honor, their integrity. Because that's ultimately all that matters. When Samuel went to see Jesse, looked at all those strapping boys that he had who were fighting with Saul, to the extent that Saul was doing any fighting at that point. And Samuel himself, the prophet of God, picks the biggest, tallest, best looking one. And I think that was Eliud, if I'm not mistaken. And says, this must be the Lord's anointed. God said, no, not him. And he finally said, well, are these all your sons? He says to Jesse, are these all your sons? He said, well, I'm paraphrasing it and giving it my own little version, if you will, not embellished, but maybe a little dramatized. But he says, yeah, I got a kid out there in the fields. He's tending the sheep. You don't need to see him. I mean, he's just a kid. Samuel said, bring him in here. Samuel poured the anointing oil on David's head, and David was anointed with the Spirit of God from that moment forward, distinguished himself from his family that hated him because he had seen in a dream or vision their sheaves bowing down to his sheaves, them as the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. And they didn't like that one bit. When Samuel encounters them and thinks it's got to be the biggest one, the strongest one, the best looking one, And then in walks David. And Samuel says, this is the Lord's anointed. Folks, we simply cannot allow the race baiters and the naysayers to divide us, because Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, just that last clause, Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. He didn't say it might not stand. He didn't say it's possible it won't stand. He said it will not stand. And the same thing for a kingdom divided against itself. He said, is brought to desolation. Not, well, it might not fare too well. No, is brought to desolation. And that word desolation means ruin. It is ruined. It is destroyed. And notice he had qualified that statement. And that word desolation is the word ruined. And in the Greek, desolation, eremoo, means laid waste, stripped of its treasure, brought to nothing. Brought to nothing. Look, if we want America to have a future, we have got to solve this problem that the left keeps stoking, which is racial hatred and division. And this comment that this woman made, and that frankly the left, particularly today, makes repeatedly, which is in effect that Americans who are not of European ancestry, and that's particularly Americans of African ancestry, those of us who are descended from slaves, that we are much, much, much better off if the left is in charge of our lives and we do what they want us to do. We think the way they want us to think, we talk the way they want us to talk, and we live the way they think we should live. And the major problem with that is, if that actually happened, we'd be as bad as they are. Maybe even worse. But that's not going to happen. We are not going to follow them over the abyss. We are not going to jump into the rabbit hole with them and live in Alice in Wonder, La La Horror Land. Or maybe to put it more bluntly, we are not going to hell with them, no matter how badly they want to go. So these qualities, sadly, and I didn't even finish them all, but they are plaguing our country right now. The lack of evidence in condemning someone, let me put it this way. Not having any love, affection, loyalty, interest in or for your fellow citizens. Like this woman, it's a bunch of white girls. That kind of unpatriotic, unsympathetic, disloyal attitude is a house divided against itself. It cannot stand, Jesus said. It cannot stand. So the question now is, for our 250th anniversary that's coming up, are we going to stand? Is America going to endure? Is America going to die? I'm preaching a series right now at my church about that. So if you want to see that, tune in on our Facebook page, EW Jackson for America, at 11:15 a.m. on Sunday morning. And that's the series you'll be hearing. But look, in the opening salvo of the series, I talked about the fact that we're now just 1 year from 250, and 250 was when Glubb said great nations collapse, or they just slowly decline into oblivion and irrelevance. So the question is that what's about to happen to our country? Well, if you listen to these symptoms of a declining nation, it certainly sounds that way. Abraham Lincoln said in his Lyceum speech to a youth group, quote, "If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher." In other words, if we're going to be destroyed, it's going to come from within us, not from some outside party, person, country, but from us. And if we're subdued by some outside party, person, country, it's going to be because we were so weak within that we couldn't do anything to defend ourselves. It is a sad state of affairs that there are people who want violence, want civil war. I mean, like the people who are now saying ICE agents should be attacked, even if it means you have to get shot. Well, now we've found out that it's not far a throw from that to say, just instead of being willing to be shot, just be willing to kill one of them. We've seen at least two ambushes of ICE agencies in the last few days. I mean, folks, this is a formula for societal suicide. Only 36% of Democrats are proud of their country. Independents have declined since 2000. They're now at 60%, trailing slightly behind the Democrats. Republicans are holding steady at 92% of Republicans. 92% are proud of their country. I can certainly tell you, I am grateful to God. I use pride to mean that I'm grateful to God to be an American. And all those people burning the flag, denigrating the flag. Well, again, you're really getting on the wrong side of me to do that. I realize the Supreme Court said that's freedom of speech. I don't agree with them on that. But I am not giving up on my country, ever. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody does. Oh, Bishop Jackson, you can't hold, you can't do this, you can't do that because, you know, that's not in keeping with the way we think these days. You got to come into the modern era. You know, you got to get your black thing on. No. No, thank you. Not doing it. I'll tell you what I'm going to get on. I'm going to get on my discipleship of Christ thing. I'm going to get on my American thing. Because being a disciple of Jesus Christ is who I ultimately am. Being an American, who's who God made me to be, according to Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created for good works beforehand in Christ Jesus, that we should walk in them. I'm not giving it up for some superficial nonsense. And yes, that's what it is, superficial nonsense. When you give it that level of importance, obsession, idolatry in your life, that's a curse. I'm not jumping in that. I know where I'm from. And some of you listening to me right now, some of you have Irish ancestry, some of you have German ancestry, some of you have Scandinavian ancestry, Finnish ancestry, some of you have Spanish ancestry. And it could be all over the place for all I know. And I talk to some people who say, well, I don't quite know what I am because my grandmother was Scandinavian, my father was German, and on it goes. So there's nothing wrong with being aware of that, learning from it perhaps, trying to understand how it may have influenced you, influenced your thinking, influenced your family. but we are Bible-believing Christians and disciples of Jesus Christ, and our primary orientation and identity is in Christ and Christ alone. You think when anybody stands before God, they're going to plead their racial pedigree? Oh my goodness, I'm going over a little. I'm going to keep it short, but let me get to this. The Lord laid on my heart that from July 4th to September 17th, it's exactly 76 days. The declaration was issued on July 4th. The Constitution was passed on September 14th. That is exactly 76 days counting July 4th. So we've created something we call Project 76 Standathon. And during this period of time, we're asking all of our supporters to help us with this concept I call deracializing America. Help us with our Family Restoration Institute, because we really need to rebuild the family in America. You can help us by giving $1 a day over the 76-day period. That would be $76. Or $10 a day, that would be $760. Or you can give any amount. You can give 50 cents a day. You can give $3 a day, or $5 a day, or $2 a day, whatever you choose. But I'm just giving you these round numbers to help you understand. You could give $100 a day, which would be, $10 a day would be $760. $100 a day would be $7,600. And I'm going to tell you all that my wife and I have committed to giving $100 a day. And that's a faith commitment, folks, because we're not wealthy people. But that's a faith commitment. Because I believe in this country, and I believe that we have a responsibility to preserve it from desolation. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Therefore, we must come together across racial and cultural lines as one nation under God. That is the only way we're going to be indivisible and have liberty and justice for all. We call it Project 76 Standathon. Go to standamerica.us to learn more about it, standamerica.us. You can give by check. You can give by on the internet, however you choose. But would you pray for us? The three themes for this 76 days is prayer, purpose, meaning to help you all understand who we are and what we do, and of course, to get in touch with the purpose of our country, staying true to America's national destiny. That's what STAND means. Staying true, S-T, to America's A, national, N, destiny, D, STAND. I believe God had a plan for this nation before the foundation of the world, just like he had a plan for you and me. And I want to be a part of making sure that my country fulfills it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. There are three scriptures right there that tell you everything you need to know about what it's going to take to preserve this nation. And there are people who are violating every single one of those in every way they can, namely the left, which I really believe at this point is a demonic cult. Help us. Go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us to sign up as a contributor during our Project 76 Standathon. You know, it's interesting. American Family Radio has a share-a-thon. I usually participate in the share-a-thons, and I really love it. That's really kind of the seed of this idea. Now, I'm not on every day, all day, every day. They do it 3 days a week, twice a year, the spring and the fall. And it works. I don't have the ability to do that because it's just me, and I'm only on for about 50 minutes a day. I'm going a little longer today, but about 50 minutes a day. And so I'm going to be using this time, and I'm not even on every day, although I'm going to try to be on more frequently over the next 76 days. Well, right now we're in the fifth day of Project 76, the fifth day. Tomorrow will be the sixth day. And tomorrow on my podcast at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, I take that back, at 9 a.m. Eastern, because I'm going to be substituting for Jenna Ellis on American Family Radio again tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So I will not be doing my podcast until 9 a.m., but tomorrow at 9 a.m., I'm going to be talking about this issue, and I'm going to make our first contribution over the first 5 days. The first faith gift, $500 to our organization. My wife and I give anyway, obviously. We give all the time. Because I don't believe you can support something, work for something, believe in something, and ask other people to give to something, then you don't do it yourself. That doesn't work for me. That doesn't make sense. That's hypocrisy, and that's lacking integrity. And so I said maybe somebody will commit to $1,000 a day and give us $76,000. Maybe somebody will commit to $100,000 a day and give us $760,000 at the end of 76 days. We're believing God for endowment givers, people who will give a major gift to help put our organization on strong, stable, sound financial footing so that we can do all the things that our hearts dream to do for God that I believe He's called us to do. But look, I don't know where you are financially. You do what God has laid on your heart, but at the very least, pray for us. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to pray about praying for us. You know God wants you to pray for us. Pray for us. I'm asking for your prayers that all that God has in store for us will come to pass and that God will give me the strength and the wisdom in order to do everything that He's called us to do and the faith to believe for all the resources needed to get it done. And I haven't begun to talk about that. I'm going to be talking about that on my podcast as we go through these next 76 days. But in the meantime, God bless each and every one of you. I love you. Pray for me. Pray for American Family Radio. Pray for my organization, Stan. Pray for our country. Pray for our country. I really believe that God is already working an awakening in our country. I don't believe we've seen it in its fullest yet, but I believe we're going to, and we desperately need it. Let's get in rhythm with God and stand where He wants us to stand and do what He wants us to do and say what He wants us to say. So you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.